Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are living the summer dream.
Man, Italian Ice Citrus Lager from The Hopewell. You know, Home Depot is The Home Depot. Hopewell is The Hopewell Brewing Company.
Yeah. Okay. It seems like it's like 80 degrees out. I saw this beer, 4.2% Italian Ice Beer. That seems like everything you want for the summer.
Dude, between this and that Oktoberfest, man, they are on a roll, man. They are the sneakiest of the sneaky good breweries, I think, is Hopewell right now.
And this label design is very fun.
Oh, man, yeah. There's lemons. It's it's cartoon inspired. There's lemons. There's Italian ices. It's...
And I tossed the can in the freezer for, I don't know, probably like 45 minutes. I don't think I did it enough. I think you got to put in the freezer for like a half hour, give it a little shake, put it back in there for a half hour to an hour to get that slushy vibe.
Yeah, I love the 4.2%. I love the tart lemon.
It's very tart.
Yeah.
Like I could go a little less tart, but
really,
I think it's closer to like the Rev Lemon, Freedom Lemon, than like a...
Which?
The 312 Shanty.
Correct. Yeah. Where there's no shame in making this a tart lemon beer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But you get Italian Ice, and that's often a tart lemon.
Yeah. And I like how it's not a lemon treat. You know, it's inspired by the treat.
Yeah.
But this is not a lemon treat. This is a tart lemon beer. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's nice. So we got a couple cans here. It says a lager brewed with fruit, so that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's tasty. Hopewell, man. Yeah. This could. We just hit the like half of the year here, and last time we did our top five beers of the beginning half of the year. I might have to put this in the beginning half of the year because I don't know if we had enough in these first 5 months that like knocked our socks off.
It was delicious. So socks are definitely knocked.
So maybe next week we will revisit this list of our favorite beers, but not this episode because we have a couple events to recap.
Yeah, man.
Beer Under Glass, Union Station Edition.
You know, Brad, I had myself a good old time of beer in the glass. You know, I boohooed this fucking event for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then I got there, and I'm like, you know what? You know, this is a fun time.
Right. I had gone last year. It felt fine, but I missed the place. You didn't go last year, so you were even more missing of the Garfield Park.
Yeah. I think a couple things here. One, Union Station as a venue is a bit whorish, right? You know, she's a loose woman, you know. She's a whore. You know, there's been a lot of bullshit events at that place, right?
Okay.
But if you can just kind of look past that and just see how cool the room is and the people in here making it such a vibe, then you kind of get over it, I think. And then we heard the backdrop on how fucked up the relationship with Garfield Park really was. Mm-hmm. And those two things combined, I was like, you know what, man? This is all right.
Yeah. Last year, I thought it was just okay. We're coming off of the World Beer Cup. A lot of breweries ended up either not being there or that issued people pouring because they went to the World Beer Cup or GABF. Not GABF, Craft Brewers Conference. And they all came back with COVID.
Oh, last year.
Yeah, last year.
Oh, shit.
And this was also a big event, kind of still with that COVID feeling in the air. And it was like, man, you guys just, all these brewers came back with COVID and now you're doing this. This is just, I wasn't feeling it last year.
It's funny what plays into the good beer event, right? Like the nuances of a good beer event.
And it was packed this year, a little less full than it was last year.
I imagine this was on par, because it's at capacity, especially when we're around in the preview hour or the VIP hour. There's a ton of people in this place. But I guess it was kind of like Dark Lord Day, where you can just, although there's a ton of people here, I had no problem going up to get any of these beers.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess. And then, but you heard people comment that went both years. A lot of people commented saying, hey, this was definitely a lighter crowd than years past.
And even after that first hour of the VIP, when it opened back up to the public or opened to the public, it didn't feel like it got so busy so fast. Like either we were like in another room or like chatting with someone and didn't notice like a big mass of people come in, but it just felt like it just progressively got busier.
Yeah, the Brewer's Lounge. It was quite an adventure getting in here. You know, Brad led us on our adventure getting into the joint because we just knew we weren't going to wait in line to get in. We're like, well,
we didn't know if the line was regular or VIP.
I mean, looking at this line, I'm like, well, we probably, you know, we probably shouldn't wait in this line. You know, we should do something else.
Yeah.
So we went on a little adventure to get in. Once we got in, it was a good hang from the word go, man. You know, ABV guys are saying try the that crew down state that we've had on the show before. Excel?
Oh, Triptych.
Triptych, yeah. I did not make it around to Triptych, but I heard good things about their 17% stout.
Okay, I think I had their rice lager from them. That was good.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about World Beer Cup. This time around, it was on the other side of World Beer Cup, so the World Beer Cup winners were there. Mm-hmm. And for us, that meant Kishwaukee, which apparently is in Woodstock, Illinois. Tighthead was there with their World Beer Cup winner. Mm-hmm. So we got to try these beers. I was a fan of those.
That was good.
Easy brown ale. The Kishwaukee is named after a river. I think I'm saying that right. And then it's also the brewery.
Yeah.
Just easy, clean, simple. It's a brown ale.
Right. You're not going to walk away and be like, that was the best beer you had of the night.
The best goddamn brown ale that ever brown ailed. I mean, we don't
know. But it gets lost in the shuffle of things you're drinking at a beer fest. Like, that brown ale, I forgot I had it.
Yeah. Shout out to Steve Wordendyke, former guest on the show, Two Hound Red, out in Glen Ellen. We tried his beers. Now, he had two beers. One was the one where we're like 9.3%. I think it was a Doppelbock. Mm-hmm. And did it have ghost peppers in it?
Scorpion peppers.
So he's like, well, you need to try this Vienna Lager first and work your way up to the scorpion pepper one. We try those. And I tell you, man, the Doppelbock with the scorpion peppers, I didn't know what to expect. I've had some, you know, violent pepper beers before.
Yeah, that's usually why I'm like, I avoid them. I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, this wasn't that. The Doppelbock, you know, the sweet, spicy contrast helped a lot. And then it wasn't, I think it was a peppery, there was a peppery tickle. It wasn't overly peppery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there was a little tingle, a little heat that felt like it was building but never getting out of hand.
Yeah, so I would say even after even on the finish. So I'd say good job there. Mm-hmm. That the pepper was kept in check.
Yeah.
But you experienced it, so that was cool.
There was a line that we waited in. But in the VIP sector hour, that this was the only thing that had a line.
Yeah.
Brothership?
Brothership out in Mokena.
Okay.
They brought barrel-aged space debris. It's kind of like their barrel-aged, you know, kind of Snickers bar kind of thing, right? Like, I don't know, maybe chocolate and...
So why did they have a line versus Moore was over there doing fun stuff too?
Yeah.
But Brothership, that... I don't know. Isn't on everyone's radar right now.
There were two. There were Messier, which was one of their barrel-aged beers, and barrel-aged Space Debris. Both adjunct stouts, basically. Barrel-aged adjunct stouts. And then, I don't know. I think in Facebook groups, people have get a buzz about them. Maybe people like new breweries that are kind of the surprise factor of them having these really good beers.
Maybe, they've been around for a little while, though,
maybe,
right?
That's it. Well, I meant new in comparison to more.
Okay, okay.
Know? Yeah, that's what I mean. Because more, you kind of, you know, they took Best in Show at GABF when Phase 3 Guy was there. You know, more high visibility than in Brothership.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. I'm not sure.
Right, but next to them was Broken Tea. Talked to them a little bit.
Yeah. Shout out to Blue Island, man. One of my favorite beers of the day was the Ocho, which was their...
Eighth anniversary beer.
Eighth anniversary beer. Belgian Quad? Belgian Triple? Definitely. Probably a triple.
It was a big beer.
Quad's a little darker. This was a big-ass triple, right? Yeah, I think it's an ale, but he said, hey, he racked it for a month so that some of that ethanol and some of those astringent notes can fall out. So you get a lot of banana, a lot of nice round clove on this massive 11, 12% beer. It was super fun. I like the Blue Island guys a lot. You know, I have a Blue Island t-shirt. You know?
Yeah.
I drink them a lot at Sox Park. I always root for them. I'm very excited for them being, like, South Burbs and fucking doing good stuff. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Did try the Penrose, their tea seltzer. So it's Arnold Palmer, because they have their lemon seltzer. They have the pink lemonade, which the pink lemonade is fantastic. This Arnold Palmer one, very nice.
Yeah, I think I want to say you brought the lemon one on the show once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Country Time lemonade in a fun way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. You talked about Mindy. That was those are some surprise bangers, man. Mindy Special Reserve. From Moore, and then out of nowhere, the Elijah Craig 18-year barrel-aged Cup of Neat from Maplewood made an appearance.
Oh, right.
And these were things I wasn't expecting to see at all. So those are really fun. One thing I did miss was the Mai Tai thing from Moore. I saw people drinking it. Okay. I just never made my way to it. This thing at 4 o'clock, you got to be strategically positioned here, because I was looking for sandwiches, Brad. I was a little slapped. I'm not going to lie to you.
And that it went by very fast. We talked to a lot of people. A lot of people were coming up to us saying how much they listen to the show.
Yeah,
how much they like love us going out to the burbs, hitting up all these spots out west, out south, everywhere.
Yeah, man. So shout out to you and shout out to them. Anybody who ever like just kind of stops us and says, hey, I fuck with the show. Mm-hmm. That's always fun.
Yeah.
You know?
We talked to Black Lung guy a little bit. The new spot is close to being open, it sounds like.
I feel like spot 2 is like on the Channel Lakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they got a new chef, the Light the Lamp guy.
Are we supposed to talk about this? I don't know if we can talk about this.
Then Light the Lamp got bought by somebody, and so they're just trying to like revitalize the place. So there's no plans for Light the Lamp to close anymore.
Oh, okay.
But he's got new plan going on.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. He'll have two breweries and fixing elevators all at the same time.
I think because he works, I want to say when we were there, his day job was like, he worked for the village or something. And it had something to do with elevators. I'm like, man, this dude is busy. He's going to have two breweries and the elevator job? Man.
Yeah. And then what else do we have? Hal Popwater from Spiteful. Pretty good.
Sketchbook.
Oh, Sketchbook.
Yeah, Sketchbook.
Not as good as Lagunitas, but good.
Yeah, I think Lagunitas still number one in the power rankings for hop water. But this was a pleasant surprise. And then, unlike all the other beers, you could just take the whole beer.
Yeah.
Because it's hop water.
Yeah, we talked to Caesar for a minute. And yeah, he was just like, yeah, take a can. Like, that's kind of, it's water.
Yeah.
So walk around and have a water.
That's true. Yeah. We saw the Illinois guy who insisted on calling us the malting hour.
All right.
So I'm telling Brad, when we show up, when we do our feature in in this magazine, we should insist that we be addressed as the malting hour in that as well.
I was confused when he first said it. I thought he was saying he was the malting hour. Okay.
Yeah. We got a couple nuggets from him. I think what he said was... I always thought the Illinois Brewing was a guild initiative, but apparently this guy owns Illinois Brewing, and the guild just kind of helps subsidize him printing the magazine and having it in every brewery in the state.
And a little bit of creative that you can't talk about breweries that aren't.
You cannot talk about breweries that are not guild breweries. That's a good point. Surprising number of breweries not in the guild. I think 327 in the state-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
under 300 in the guild, like 280 something, I think, in the guild.
Yeah.
So that kind of caught me off guard. So you're talking, I don't know, anywhere from, 40, 50 breweries online, not in the guild.
I think some of them, it sounds like, come and go at times. Like Metropolitan was not a guild, yeah. Then they were a guild, and now they're not a guild member now. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Reasons unknown to us.
And in other states, to be fair, in other states, I think like Denver, there was a large percentage of breweries that wanted to break away and create their own guild at one point. Oh, that was a new story a few years ago. So everyone doesn't always see eye to eye on these associated fees and initiatives, I suppose, right?
Right.
So that was cool.
Got a little lowdown on the old Irving new space that's going to be opening in the brewing district.
Yeah, man. I think at some point, so now we've talked to Old Irving and we've talked to Sketchbook, both used to brew at Great Central. Now they'd rather just build out their own brewery than brew with Great Central. At some point, man, we got to talk about like what's going on at Great Central. I mean, I don't have enough info, but.
Right. The question is, why is Beguile still there?
Yeah. How's it? Why is your relationship with the guys different from
Sketchbook and Old Irving?
Yeah.
Beguile was moving a ton of beer. They were on, they had this big Whole Foods thing for a while, which I'm sure it's kind of, since COVID kind of maybe went away because they were like going to be, I think they were brewing like a house beer for Whole Foods or something like that. Or like, they were like the featured beer on tap beginning at Whole Foods, but something about that. So yeah, why hasn't Beguile broken away? Because they have to be moving just as much beer.
I don't know. It was interesting, though.
Maplewood's still there. Maplewood's got to be moving a lot of beer, but they don't have... Maybe they do have problems, but it's not financially beneficial to them.
Yeah, and maybe these guys... Maplewood's only... I would assume Maplewood was planning another space. And at one point, I was going to open a space in Lincolnwood, and they said, hey, the Lincolnwood space has a... it's easier for trucks to get in and out, so we picked this specific space in Lincolnwood. I remember this. And then something happened, they didn't do it. Okay. So, Beguile, Sketchbook,
Irving.
They all pretty much made second brewery locations kind of known.
Yeah.
Right, so they were looking to expand big anyway.
So Maplewood's got to be something's brewing.
I mean, dude, I see Maplewood everywhere. And then every time I go to Great Central, I see... like five Maplewood beers on draft. I think they're like the de facto kind of, they have to be the top dog there because there's always more Maplewood beer than any other beer on draft every the few times I've been there.
Yeah. I guess if you're Great Central, you got to be holding on or possibly doing something for these people who are still there. You've got to be like,
maybe, yeah.
We don't want to lose you too because otherwise we could be in trouble.
It's from a distance, it doesn't seem like the same experience to your point. But Guy's experience and Maplewood's experience ain't the same as these other boys.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know more about that. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe they'll tell us, and then we'll say we won't say anything.
Yeah. But we'll see. But that Old Irving spot, it'll be online fairly soon. No one will be able to go there, but it'll be online.
Yeah, all new stuff. Because I think the stuff that Finch was using got auctioned off, right? I think that's, or sold or something, right? So they're going into a space where they're building out the space, right? They're building out the space to support newer equipment, and then they bought new equipment too.
Okay.
And they're like, this still makes more sense to us than dealing with a contractor.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So good for them.
Nice.
No plans for food and no plans for it to be customer facing, right?
Right.
It sounds like they're just gonna be flooding the market with Old Irving beer.
Right, and lots of Beezer, because we talked about our favorite. I keep forgetting this name, no matter how much.
Banshee. Oh, yeah, and apparently Banshee is, like, super expensive to make, right?
It's as expensive to make as Beezer.
Yeah.
So why? It was kind of, why make that when we can sell Beezer?
Yeah.
When we're trying to sell a new brand or a new name.
If they play this right, they got a chance to position Beezer as, Chicago's hazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I was on a boat this week, and, just a water taxi, the architecture thing. And there's four beers on draft. One's Lagunitas, one's Funky Town. So shout out to them. Okay. And then the other two are like, you know, Stella and whatever the fuck, Bud Light or something.
Okay.
Oh, but the point is, like, you know, Funky Town and Lagunitas are on boats. So, and then if you got Funky Town and Lagunitas on the boat, you can probably get some more local stuff on the boat too.
Right.
Or anything like that. All these kind of like big ticket things. Like if they play their cards right and get with the right folks, you can see Beezer everywhere.
Right.
If they got it, I'm sure they could sell it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Interesting. Was that all the info we heard and got?
We talked a lot, saw a lot of folks, man. That was a good time. I think that party changed my perception of the Great Room at Union Station.
Okay.
Yeah. I was out.
So you're on board now.
I'm back in. Yeah. And apparently, the relationship with Garfield Park, they said, hey, we want way more money per ticket than we originally agreed on.
Right.
And then another thing was they waited till the very last minute to tell them this new arrangement, to inform the guild that this is what they were doing.
And they tried to steal the name.
Oh, and they tried to keep the fucking name. I'm like, the treacherous low life way that they do things around here, Brad. It's just disgusting. Disgusting.
These conservatories. Yeah.
They tried to keep the name. I forgot that part. So all things considered, man, the way they had to pivot, it's like, okay, now that I understand all that stuff, this all makes more sense. Yeah. Okay. So it was good.
So that basically closed out Illinois Craft Beer Week. But the next day and the following day were two more events, or one more event over the course of 2 days. May Festiversary happening at Beguile and Dovetail.
Creek Slushies, man.
Yeah, they were going strong with them. I had a taste of one.
Okay.
Way too tart for me.
I can see that.
If I'm like, this lemon one, man, it's kind of tart. That was crazy tart.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got there, grabbed a Beguile beer, walked around, went to the backside of Dovetail, and they have like another stage, and they're pouring beers there. And that was way less crowded, way more chill. And we hung out there for a little while. I had Dovetail's Maibach. Very nice that they brewed just for this fest.
Okay.
That was nice. I want to say it was like 6%.
Maibach is the beer that commemorates spring.
Right.
I love that they do that party. I love that it's 2 days. And yeah, there's a band and a secret bar at Dovetail. And then there's a big, gigantic bar on the other side of Dovetail. And then you party in the middle of the street with a big band, go over to the Beguile side, and it's basically the exact same thing over there, too.
Mm-hmm.
This block party that spans basically the front and back of both breweries plus a whole block.
Yeah.
So.
Saw Steve Hamburg.
Oh, man. Stevie Hamburg, man.
He was just standing there. He says he doesn't live very far, but he was like, it's always a good time. I just make an appearance, kind of say hi to people, and then like get out. He's like, I'm not staying around and partying.
Oh, he's not here for the Yacht Rockettes going on at 8 p.m. on Sunday?
He's just kind of there. He's like, I come here all the time and drink these beers. I'm just kind of here to support it.
Yeah.
Be seen and get out.
It's a good cause too, man. I think they raise money for like a food bank.
Food pantry.
Food pantry.
$5 donation
to
enter, which I think they should just donate $1 of every beer sale to this.
Very arbitrary thing. Yeah.
Like this $5 donation at all of Chicago festivals to come in feels very like forced.
Who's got $5 on them?
They're like, we'll take credit cards. I'm not giving you my card here. Random lady in the street.
I'm about to get this ID, and I'm going to get my little thing for the wrist, I'm going to go drink.
I think these breweries, Dovetail and Beguile, could just donate $1 of a beer because they're really just pouring like $10 or 10-ounce sample cups and charging
16-ounce prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've discussed our distaste for these type of things, and we'd rather, as a consumer, it's easy for us to say, but as a consumer, we just want you to put the shit in the price of the thing.
Right.
Quit asking me for money along the way or telling me, you know, what it's going towards and all that kind of stuff. Just put it all in the beer. And let me just, and that's easier for us. But, you know, we're consumers. We don't run breweries.
Yeah, right. So, but this is a good time. Beautiful weekend for it. So if you went either day, you had a great time.
So good.
So good. We biked over there, then biked somewhere else, got dinner, biked back that way, went to the long room, which they got Schlitz on tap. Schlitz?
Not bad.
Is not bad.
Not bad.
I haven't had a Schlitz in a long time, and they had it on draft. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it.
You know?
I think it was $3. I was like,
on a summer day?
Either. You know, I've been drinking for a little while, but this, and biking around, but I was fine. I was like, this is good. Or it's better than I thought it would be, I'll say.
You forget about, $3 Schlitz don't sound bad, especially on a day like this. you forget about Long Room. Long Room was, I would say, in one of those first generation of bars locally that figured out that, you know, craft is the way.
Yeah,
you know?
I had never been to Long Room.
No?
So I was just kind of like, let's go there and check it out.
Yeah, Long Room, sneaky good. Ashland and Montrose, or maybe Lawrence. No, I'm gonna say Montrose.
Irving.
Oh, it's Irving. Irving and Ashland.
Yeah, Irving.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did that and then bite back this way. Went to the dive bar TNA 2 for some old styles.
We were looking at properties, and TNA 2 it sits on like a residential block, and it hops out at you. We were looking at a spot over there once. We saw TNA 2.
That's an amazing dive bar really? In the north side. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Cash only, like five different beers. And if you're getting like any kind of like cocktail, which is, you know, just like Jack and Coke kind of thing, you're probably getting like a decent pour.
Oh, it's like the old Charisse downtown, the old cop bar. Where they just go bottoms up on the fucking booze and then just like doop, a little drop.
Yeah, the girl working the woman working the bar. She's like, yeah, my mom was like, you know, it's like a third of the glass with ice, and that's how you do it. So
God bless him. You know, and then you can't have TNA 2 without TNA 1.
Yeah, so where is it?
I don't know, but that's the first thing I thought. I'm like, man, there's two of these. That's awesome.
But it's not a 2 like a number 2. It's also. So that was a pretty good day. And like a variety of drinking because we did Beguile, then Dovetail.
Yeah.
We picked up a 6-pack of Beguile, went and got dinner, Schlitz, old style.
Yeah.
And that was the night.
Yeah.
Just ran the gamut.
That's a good romp.
But you were what? You were out in the burbs.
Rocking the suburbs, man. You know, sometimes I get on these little pizza forums and I try to find out, you know, who's got good pizza.
Okay.
So that's what led me to Darien, Illinois, because it's right next to Westmont, where Kim's Uncle Pizza is. Kim's Uncle is the pizza that used to be next door to Mars. It's the same crew.
Oh, right.
So Mars had pizza. And the spot next door to Mars used to be Royal Pies.
Yeah.
Mars bought it out, and then it was called Pizza Fried Chicken Ice Cream.
Okay.
And it was a collection of three folks. Pretty Cool Ice Cream was the ice cream.
Right.
And then the fried chicken was Kimski's, and the pizza was these folks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I ended up in Westmont for that. Oh, and then Darien's right there.
How was this pizza?
You know, I would go back.
Okay.
It's the real deal. It was fantastic. I had Italian beef with a little garlic, a little jardiniere.
Because when we went out there for... the burger guy who was going to be at Goldfinger, which he'll be there Saturday.
Okay.
But we messed up and Maeve knew about this pizza place.
Uh-huh.
So, and the Goldfinger and the other three places that I can't remember the name.
Well, there's Goldfinger, Miskatonic, and when you're in Downers Grove, so Emmett's is over there. But you probably weren't going to Emmett's, I wouldn't say.
No, and the place that has the three spots that... I went to all three in one.
Oh, Altar.
Altar.
Altar. Okay.
Altar's over there.
Yeah. There is an Altar in Downers Grove. You're right.
Yeah. So she knew about this pizza place, but I don't. We felt like it was going the wrong way or a different way, but it's not that far.
No. And then there's booth seating, but there's only two seats on the inside, and then there's a bench outside. So I sat outside. It's kind of a perfect day for that.
Busy?
It opened at 4, but. there were like four or five people that got there for and had their pizzas done already.
Oh, man.
So I'm like,
what? Is that full pizza? You can get a slice?
No, it's like a tavern style pizza, the whole pie.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that was weird. They just saw just a nonstop flow of people.
Damn, okay.
It was good, man.
And then Miskatonic, how was that?
Miskatonic, I got the West Coast IPA, a collab with Skeleton Key.
Okay.
That made me happy. there was a fruity Kolsch. And then Miskatonic has this very weird, is it H.P. Lovecraft, maybe?
Yeah.
Where he's all about these weird kind of mythical creatures. So there's that theme all through the place. The logo is a silhouette of a lady wearing like an 1800s dress, just big flowing dress, but she's got tentacles coming from under her dress. And there's a lot of weird ass shit like that going on in the joint. Like okay. Everything from like, you know, all the pictures in the bathrooms, all against the walls. There's just very creepy kind of, if no one explains it to you, you're just like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, a surprising amount of beers. I would say maybe like 20 beers on draft. They had a dumpling crew. I should have taken a photo of his t-shirt. It was like a local dumpling crew that was outside, kind of, that's their version of a food truck, but they were actually cooking on site.
Oh, cool.
And then it's dog friendly. So, nice. Yeah. So I want to say Darien is right next to Bolingbrook. So right off the expressway. So right off 88. Once you go past, like, I think it's south of like Naperville and shit.
You're not far from like Workforce then too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So a little Westburg romp. Really to go get the pie. And I'm like, well, I liked Miskatonic the one time I went. I mean, actually, me and Juan Kim years ago, because he did a lot of the artwork in there. We ditched work and took the train out to Miskatonic because he's like, hey, I want to see my work. And they weren't open at the time. You know, they hadn't opened for business yet.
Okay.
So I looked at my phone and Geotag said 2015. So this is my first time going since then.
Yeah.
So, and that's the only reason I know about this because I happened to be with him that day.
Damn, nice.
So. Yeah. It was cool. It's a cool spot.
Is the pizza place BYOB or do they have food?
Pizza,
I mean booze.
No, they have a there's one of those liquor stores across the street. So they encourage you to go across the street and bring it back. And they're like, hey, if you go over there, we got cups. So they kinda encourage you to support the
If you brought other beer.
I don't think they bother you because they don't sell anything. Okay. They just sell pie. No, I mean they don't sell I didn't see beverages. You can get like jalapeno poppers and Italian beefs and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Was it Pizza Friendly Pizza? I think it was. The name of that crew. And now it's called Kim's Uncle. Yeah.
Okay. I'm more interested in this pizza than this Miskatonic.
Dude, this pizza was fantastic. This pizza was fantastic. It was really good. Yeah.
Damn.
So you know, we catch some L's on these pizzas. Like on these pizza, you know, you kind of get addicted and you just start trying everyone's tavern pie. Right. And they're all not created equal. This one was good. Well, nice.
Hearing about this, I'm thinking, do I go to Goldfinger, get a burger, and then go over to the pizza place?
Thin cracker crust. There was a lot of garlic in the sauce already. So we got the garlic upcharge. I didn't understand, but it was. Definitely had a ton of noticeable garlic. But I was a big fan of, because you know, I got Italian beef and jardiniere, but you could pick up each slice and, you know, pick up each piece and it wasn't too heavy for the piece.
Oh,
or you know how sometimes the ingredients will like make the piece soggy.
Yeah.
Right? Or it just falls completely off. Now you got cheese in one hand and fucking hot sauce in another looking like a schmuck.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like just a well, you know, well crafted kind of balance on the bites. Now we're talking. Now we're talking pies.
Pizza. Yeah.
Maybe because I thought it was gonna be a bust because I went all the way out there, but it was solid, man. So,
good.
Yeah.
Oh. Man, these West Burb romps, especially for beer, you end up getting some fun food too.
And Brad's it's you know it's contagious. You know what Brad's doing. You know.
I know. Where are we going next? Well, we got all the fans coming up to us and being like, "Yeah, thanks for coming out here." Like, oh, okay, I guess I gotta go to I don't know Deerfield.
See.
Go to what is it? It's 50.
I keep thinking of D&G, but that's 50, Aurora.
No, 10.
Oh, yeah, 1090? Yeah, 1090.
1090 is in Deerfield, right?
Yeah, or Glenview, which is like pretty much right next to it.
Yeah.
Same.
It's like, damn, all right. Yeah. Cool. So those are, that's what we made it to this past week. A little bit of news. We were talking about it last time, this Suncatcher, right? Were we talking about it?
Oh, yeah.
Suncatcher. On here, or yeah. were we talking about it afterwards?
Oh, because we went to Lone Wolf. So we heard, so our Beer Under Glass adventure, we met at Lone Wolf and then made it to Buck.
Right. They do not have a kitchen.
They don't.
I was correct in this. They got the tamale guy who's dead having tamales there.
They have,
so they're like, we got the tamale guy's tamales. Like, well, the tamale guy died.
They sell
so, what do you have?
They sell so many tamales that if you glance on the wall, they painted the word tamales in the giant font all from ceiling to the floor.
But no kitchen.
No kitchen. So then I'm like, well, did you guys used to have a kitchen? She's like, we did at one point.
So why would a place that has no kitchen going to be the kitchen at the Barana Brew Pub that's going to be the Lone Wolf Brew Pub at Three Floyds?
Yeah.
Three Floyds Brew Pub run by a Lone Wolf?
Yep.
With no kitchen? Like,
they don't have a kitchen.
So why would I come there for your food?
Are they dusting off the, are they getting back in the game with this Three Floyds thing? Are they saying, "Hey, I was out the game. Now I'm back in. I'm coming out of retirement to make food at a brew pub."
If you're not known for your food, what's the difference of just Three Floyds being like, "This is Three Floyds Brew Pub"? No one, like, I'm not coming out there for Lone Wolf's food. If you were like, "This is Au Cheval, and they're taking over."
If anything, I don't think Floyds would even tell us who's running the kitchen, right? It wouldn't be an advertised thing.
Oh.
Right?
That's how it's going to go.
They won't even tell you what. I went there once, and they wouldn't even tell you what hops were in the beer. They're like, we like to kind of keep that under wraps. Yeah. So I doubt if they even tell you that. I think it's just kind of like, you know, this is a thing that people are hearing.
Okay.
Right? We were talking about
Suncatcher.
Yes. So, and at the bar at Lone Wolf, we were talking about Suncatcher.
Right.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk about it here last week on the... No, maybe?
No, I think...
This all came up afterwards.
I feel like we all talked... I think we talked... This was our talk at the bar, because we had a pint of Three Floyds, because there's like three Floyds beers at this place.
Yeah. So Suncatcher is a new brewery that's opening in Chicago.
It's Half Acre Sister Brewery.
Right. It is Half Acre.
It is Half Acre.
Just as much as Hidden Hands is Salamos.
Exactly. It's the exact same thing. It's the same as the Dry Hop Crew. So the Corridor... Crushed by Giants. I always miss one. Dry Hop, Crushed by Giants, Corridor. There's a fourth one, ain't it?
Roebuck.
And I think Roebuck's concept changed. I think it's just a cocktail bar now.
Okay. They're like, yeah, pizza.
Right. Yeah. But this is a project from Half Acre. So apparently Half Acre's two of their three longest running employees. You know, we all know Roger.
Right. Basically, like, employee number two and employee number, like, three.
Right. Are starting. They're not leaving. They are venturing out to start another project.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be right over by Star Lounge.
Which is right around the corner from the Mothership. These are both Dark Matter locations, yeah.
Oh, so,
Humble
Park.
Yeah. So this is, like, on that border, like, West Town, Humble Park. Border.
Right.
So it's basically near Rockwell and Chicago Ave.
Okay.
So right before you hit like Grand Avenue and shit, you know, actually walking distance from the Goose Island Barrel Warehouse, actually. All
right. And so they already have the system. They're ready to go.
They got a 7-barrel system. They got some tanks. And they got the whole kit from a rock bottom in California. La Jolla, California, if I'm saying? La Jolla, California?
Which... We talked about after this Waybird release that Half Acre now had this pilot system.
Yeah, because at the Waybird release, they were tweaking the Green Torch lager, lime lager, and they served the pilot version to us at the Waybird release.
Right. And so we're not 100%, but we're wondering, was that pilot project Suncatcher's brew system that they were just testing?
Yeah. Raj kind of mentioned that the system that's going into Suncatcher was already at Half Acre and they were just moving it over. So all signs point to the pilot system at Half Acre is the one they bought with the intention of starting a second brewery.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. So.
And the name Suncatcher comes because they get a whole bunch of light.
They get a whole bunch of sun coming from the west. So they
built the place and then the name.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like, because when you go to the Suncatcher website, it says, hey, we're a Chicago brewery, but we're looking for a spot. In the meantime, we have these sessions that we brew beer with Hill Farmstead. Okay. But we're looking for a place. Everything's uncertain. And then you go meet the guys, and they're like, oh, yeah, we got a spot. And I'm like, well, where's the spot? And they start talking about the spot and how they're like next door to a landscaper, and the landscaper is going to help them with their beer garden, and it's going to be draft only. And we get all this light. We're catching all this sun from the west as the sun sets. So we call it Suncatcher. I'm like, oh, shit. So this was all stuff that I didn't see anywhere on the site. So.
And so the beer is currently, you can get it at Half Acre.
Yep.
A Hop Leaf.
Yep.
And then a few other spots.
There's like 18 spots around town. Okay. There's at Half Acre, there was a red ale, a brown ale, and a pale ale.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're going to be draft only, 7-barrel system, West Town, Chicago. And it sounds like it's going to be happening pretty soon.
Okay.
So good for them. You know, maybe as the launch parties start to happen more and more, and we can just actually talk to the guys more. I'm kind of curious to know about the decision to go with, instead of Half Acre, second location. Yeah. Why not? Why?
Whole acre.
Yeah. instead of making yourself a quarter acre. Instead of making yourself a whole acre, why did you go with Suncatcher?
And was this that liquor license that we heard? Because there's talk like
the mayor?
Liquor license in Chicago like neighborhood specific, or are they city specific? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people maybe thought they were neighborhood specific. Who knows there?
Yeah. So sounds like Suncatcher's a go. So okay. Good for them.
And
yeah.
Then we have another brewery opening called Good Times.
Oh yeah, Good Times is opening. Good Times opening tonight.
Tonight on June 1st. Day we're recording this, so one of us is going to have to go check this out this weekend.
10,000 square foot brewery, formerly owned by
Smiley Brothers.
Yeah, so they're going to have smoked chicken, smoked brisket, and really, really good beer. So so they went with the former brewer at the defunct Rock Bottom Chicago.
Man, I feel like...
Ray Gonzalez.
I'm burnt out on smoked meat places. Like, it feels like you could have done something else, but anyway.
Yeah, this apparently, I think the biggest difference between this place and the Smiley Crew is that this is powered by a couple of folks that own businesses over in that general area anyway.
Okay, well, that's a good sign then.
Yeah, so it's from the owners of the Pancake Cafe and Aji, A-J-I. These are two restaurants just south of the building.
Okay.
Yeah. So the guy who owns these other two restaurants is also the landlord at Good Times. So it's kind of this synergetic thing.
Okay, that makes it feel like it has a little more staying power.
Yeah, it's more of the community. The people who are already there making stuff are just making another thing for those same people.
Rather than someone from Evanston coming in and be like, this is a good spot for us.
Exactly. And people are like, who?
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then Good Times, they named it Good Times off of the... a TV show that took place in Chicago.
If you listen to Block Club Chicago, it says the name is inspired by the 70s show Good Times, which was actually filmed in LA, but they said it was set in Chicago.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's very cool. Like I think the name it's okay. I think the reference to the name is great. I find it a little confusing that it's not a black business or a minority business. That it's like this is a black TV show. It feels like that.
Seems like a bit of a reach.
Yeah.
To say it was named after Good Times, a show. I mean, because Good Times, you know, is a pretty common phrase. I think it happens to be also the name of a show. So for you to say, oh, this ties into a show from the 70s in Chicago, we're in Chicago, that's a bit of a stretch.
Right. Are beers going to be referencing the show? Is it going to be like a 70s themed in there?
Oh, yeah. There's a West Coast IPA named Dynamite, a reference to a character from the Good Times TV show, which aired in the 70s and took place in Chicago.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they also have a pale ale called Chicago Gold, which is a beer that they made at Rock Bottom. I remember Chicago Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are those beers, both those names, not copyrighted? That seems Dynamite has to be a beer.
But you know, you can name anything. You can name anything you want on draft. Remember, this was the Angry Birds argument. Angry Birds was the popular game, but it was also Pete Crowley and Jeff Sparrow. They were the Angry Birds. That beer never made it to cans, so on draft, you can call it whatever you want. Now, if they decide to package that beer, they had to call it something else.
Sure.
So I think that's the rule they're flying under. I mean, it's got to be, right? Because I think you might be right. If I was a dude from Good Times, I would copyright Dynamite. So,
no way. Copyright.
No way. There's no way. Yeah. So, yeah. So that opens today. The same 10,000 square feet.
Ex-brewer of Rock Bottom, so...
Rock Bottom Lakeview, here we come. With smoked meats.
Possible. How do you feel? Do you think this has staying power? Does it feel like a little bit of like... What's your gut tell you?
Y'all named this joint Good Times and put it in Lakeview and hired a dude from Rock Bottom and have a beer called Dynamite.
This feels like a lot of like... wrongs here, right? That's why I'm...
I got nothing, Brad. But like you said, let's just get to the bottom of it.
We gotta go. We can't...
You know?
We can't armchair judge it. We gotta go.
You know, the people. Not only do we want to know, but the people want to know what the fuck's going on here. I should have just kept a smile. I like that Smiley Brothers. This is the only time I would go to Smiley Brothers. I'm not going to Evanston. You know, not to go to Smiley Brothers. But I could ride my bike to this Smiley Brothers. You're right by the lake. You know, you want to double down and get you some dry hop. They have a fantastic burger there. You know, shit, you could post game from all the shit in Wrigley at this place. I kind of liked it when it was Smiley, so. I don't know. And then Smiley actually had good food, too. I think they bit off more than they could chew. And they had to pull out. They had to pull out, but we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else? There was something else we saw that was happening, and now I am blanking on it. I think June 10th is a couple of parties.
Oh, we did talk about Deepwoods. Deepwoods summer release.
Deepwoods summer.
Yeah. Deepwoods summer releases. There's three of them. This sounds like this is pre-sale July 18th. There's Cuvée de Grasse is back. Love Cuvée de Grasse. Dread and Breakfast, which sounds like a two-year-old cuvée with dark matter coffee. Shit, now they're probably the biggest brewery that uses dark matter if fucking Floyd's doesn't use it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then Life Jacket, which sounds like a kind of a tropical spin on Straight Jacket. So tropical in the coconut, mango, guava, passion fruit sense. So you got tropical Life Jacket, coffee cuvée, and cuvée.
Interesting.
I mean, on paper, these all sound pretty good.
Yeah. So. Last year, they slept on the big summertime release. Remember, we talked about this. We were like, where's Supermassive? Where's the summertime release? And they came out with, like, I think it was like Mixed Berry or something in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, Mixed Berry's good. There ain't a whole lot of these deep woods that are better than Supermassive. Supermassive is a monster. I love that beer.
Damn. Okay. And they're letting people know what they can do in the summertime, which Goose may want to also do with, all, especially with all the Vermont County that they have.
Man, Rev's eating everybody's lunch with these. But you know, this is a thing amongst younger breweries too. Like I was looking at Microphone. Microphone had a barrel-aged release this year. I think this the concept, barrel-aged season is a practical thing as it was a season. Mm-hmm. But I think we're long past that now, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think Goose has kind of caught on too because they did their 35th anniversary cuvée as a barrel-aged beer, and that came out kind of flew under the radar, but it came out like maybe 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
But yeah. But what Rev's doing with these barrel age releases in the summer, keeping that momentum of Deep Woods all year long with all new summertime versions of their stuff, that's good. That's a good move. I like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you got those coming up. You got the Mundelein Beer Fest happening. I believe you have Metropolitan's My Fest. They have a party coming up.
It's about to be June. They still haven't done their Maybach Fest yet? Because that's what it was, right?
Maybe that happened. I thought they have a fest on June 10th. Why do I think, say, in my head, there's like a bunch of events happening June 10th?
It's got something to do with Satan?
I don't know. I know, I believe the Mundelein one is June 10th.
Mundelein, Illinois, hello.
And that takes place at Tighthead. And then tickets are still up for sale, or they're now for sale for Oak Park Microbrew.
Man, my reception is shit right now, so I can't look at the Metro shit.
Why do I think they have a party coming up?
It's all blank. Well, they just did the Brewer's Triangle party. Maybe you're thinking of that.
Maybe I'm thinking of that. But plenty of stuff happening this summer. A lot of good beer to drink. Friday Night Flights is back. First one tomorrow, technically.
At Wrigley.
At Wrigley. No. Did they invite us?
I didn't get an invite.
They invited us to Auto Show.
I got an email saying that it's happening.
Yeah.
I didn't get an email saying it's happening. Are you coming? I did not get that email. It just said, hey, tell people it's happening. So
here we go. It's happening.
Who was, I think the Dutch, one of these crews, I mean, I think it might have been Dutch Bag. They hated
Friday Night Flights?
The Wrigley one.
Oh.
Because everybody's there. They're like,
this is the Wrigley one.
They're like, give me an IPA. Like, I don't think anyone really cares. Like, it's Wrigley. So they're just there to just take it to past 10. You know, just give me your fucking IPA.
Okay.
No one really is trying to learn about these places, you know.
Yeah. Damn. That's too bad. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Nick, where can people get in touch, find you in the burbs?
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram. And we'll keep finding some fun beer and doing some more episodes. Take care.
Cheers.